This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the August-September issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have our feature, Five Questions, this time with narrator Gabra Zachman. After that, we'll have reviews in contemporary culture, including reviews of E.B. White's On Democracy, read by Arthur Morey, Peter Vollenbund's The Secret Wisdom of Nature, read by Sean Barrett, both our earphones winners, and then we'll turn to Thomas Walken's column Learning by Ear. Its reviews are focused on the sound of political science, with reviews like The Right Side of History, How to Reason, and Moral Purpose Made the West Great. It's written and read by Ben Shapiro. We also have Blueprint, written and read by Nicholas A. Christakis. Let's get right to it. Five Questions with narrator Gabra Zachman by Candace Levy. First, we get Candace Levy's background information on Gabra Zachman. I've been listening to today's guest narrator, Gabra Zachman, for almost 15 years, ever since I discovered her work via a young adult literary fantasy series. I was immediately impressed with her ability to create distinct accents for the imaginary worlds featured in those audiobooks. Over the years, I've come to especially appreciate Gabra's ability to pick up on the author's style and intent, whether it's casual or light, or action-packed and dramatic. Gabra's resume covers the full range of genre, from fantasy to science and from short stories to saga. When picking titles to highlight Gabra's solo performances, I couldn't help but be drawn to nonfiction. Some of my very favorite true stories are narrated by Gabra, and I'm including two of them here. Fiction fans, don't fret. I'm recommending some Gabra Read audiobooks for you, too. Kate Walbert's novella, His Favorites, addresses the Me Too movement through the voice of a woman who remembers the inappropriate sexual attention of her high school English teacher. The incident occurred in the late 1970s, and when teenage Jo turns to the private boarding school authorities, she is given no help. Gabra's performance emphasizes Jo's efforts to emotionally distance herself from the charming but predatory teacher and from her troubles back home. You might think an audiobook about the major plagues that have affected humankind from Roman times to the present could make for dry listening, but you'd be very wrong. In Get Well Soon, author Jennifer Wright focuses on the ways in which society has dealt with the horrors of incurable diseases, but lightens the mood with fascinating facts, humor, and pop culture references. Gabra's conversational tone and good sense of pacing are a perfect match for the author's style. In Katie Crouch's Men and Dogs, 30-something Hannah's ill-advised life choices are finally catching up with her. After a drunken escapade, Hannah reluctantly takes advice from her husband and mother and returns home to Charleston in hopes of getting her act together and finally coming to terms with her father's sudden disappearance 20 years earlier. Gabra's performance emphasizes both the family drama and Hannah's journey to self-discovery and a brighter future. You might want to keep the lights on while you're listening to Michelle McNamara's I'll Be Gone in the Dark. This audiobook, which was a finalist for the Audie's Audiobook of the Year, follows the author's attempt to identify the Golden State Killer, who was still on the loose despite having raped 50 women and committed a dozen murders in the 1970s and 80s. Gabra's performance beautifully blurs the line between narrator and author, allowing us to connect strongly with this very creepy true story. Note, about a month after the audiobook was published, the killer was finally caught. Curious listeners can watch Gabra's narrator video about this true crime audiobook. Audiobooks are a great way to revisit the classics, such as Herman Wouk's Marjorie Morningstar. Although published more than 60 years ago, this story of a young Jewish woman who puts aside her dreams of being an actress to become a wife and mother still resonates today. Gabra's performance underscores the character's personalities and enlivens the dialogue. These are the five questions we asked Gabra Zacman. Now that you're more familiar with Gabra Zacman's work and voice, it's time to get to know a little bit more about the woman who brings all of those stories to life. I'm so pleased that Gabra agreed to give answers to a few of our questions. Audiophile Magazine. What is the one thing you wish you had known before you recorded your first book? Gabra Zacman. I wish I had known that it isn't just about having a nice voice. I also wish I had known that it isn't about the characters within a book so much as it is about whatever narrator is telling the story and how they are choosing to tell it. I learned that lesson years after starting to record, and I learned it by listening to some of my mentors. So I guess that's another thing I wish I had known. The first step is to listen, listen, listen. Audiophile. What are you doing when you're not working? Gabra Zacman. What I want to answer? Biking, hiking, swimming, writing, yoga, kickboxing, museums, spontaneous, joyful walks around New York and around the world, dancing a jubilant dance of freedom and delight. What the truth is, I love all those things the most, but I often don't get to do them. I'm trying to change my life so that they are not so occasional. In the meantime, I am a true social butterfly and can often be found laughing with friends over a few glasses of wine. Audiophile. What's your most embarrassing moment in the recording booth? Gabra Zacman. Before I realized that one has to dress for both comfort and silence, no clothes or stuff that makes noise, I happened to make a sincerely ridiculous pants choice before a long session. It was with a female director who is a good friend of mine and a male engineer whom I also adore. Happily, they could not see below my neck because I actually had to take my pants off for the session. That's right, this was my first introduction to the pants-free read, and a choice I now employ from time to time when necessary. Audiophile. What's your go-to beverage when recording? How about after recording? Gabra Zacman. I'm tempted to be cheeky here and answer the same for both. Scotch. Neat. Truth? I always have two beverages in front of me when I record, water, room temperature, and either tea or coffee. I've just scaled my coffee intake back to only one cup a day, but for the tough reads, I up it to three. After recording, I am one for a nice glass of wine, usually a French rosé, though sometimes it's a bourbon or whiskey, and I prefer it on the rocks. Only the roughest of reads rates a scotch, neat. Audiophile. What do you always have with you in the recording booth? Gabra Zacman. A long time ago, I got really into stones and the properties they have. I'm one for collecting rocks on a beach or stopping into a rocks and fossil shop when on vacation. When I learned of the connection between turquoise and throat chakra, I made it a point always to wear some piece of turquoise when I record. If it isn't that stone, it's always a piece of jewelry of some significance to me or something I think will help me tell the story I'm recording. In addition, I always have a bag of throat spray, lip balm, throat drops, magic fairy dust to ensure I can get through whatever the day offers. And that was five questions with narrator Gabra Zacman, with an introduction by Candace Levy. Let me just remind you that you are listening to the August-September issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, let's start right out with our reviews in contemporary culture. And our first review is an earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today is The Secret Wisdom of Nature. It's written by Peter Vollenbent, and it's Jane Billinghurst who translated it. It's an earphones winner, read by Sean Barrett. Narrator Sean Barrett's warm baritone is perfect for Peter Vollenbent's fascinating final installment in his Mysteries of Nature trilogy. Following the hidden life of trees and the inner life of animals, Vollenbend now considers the connection of all living things. A former German forestry official, he writes with an enthusiast's thrill and a scientist's precision. And as if the facts weren't remarkable enough, for example, beech trees feed their offspring in dark forests by connecting to their root systems. Barrett's positively seductive voice will cause you to forget the breadcrumbs as you follow him oh so willingly into the woods. His clear enunciation enables you not to miss anything, and his pacing allows time for you to say, "Oh, wow." To quote Vollenbend, "Let's be amazed together." Aurelia C. Scott wrote that review of The Secret Wisdom of Nature. It's written by Peter Vollenbend. Jane Billinghurst is the translator, and it's an earphones winner, read by Sean Barrett. It's available from Blackstone Audio for 6.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next in contemporary culture, we have The Way We Eat Now. It's written and read by B. Wilson. B. Wilson narrates this significant audiobook in a chummy and nuanced style that eases the troubling issues she raises. Her cadence and delivery are so engaging that the listener is encouraged to consider the long list of planetary bad behaviors she iterates regarding how we eat. Her sprightly British accent softens the sometimes scolding tone she uses to remind us that though food is more abundant than ever, we value it less in this era of snacking and overproduced and massively sugared foods. She knows well that food is a touchy subject. After outlining problems of the developed world, such as shifts in diet called nutrition transition and the general malaise of going from shared meals to frenetic catch-as-catch-can style of today's eating, she gives gentle suggestions for improvement. Alan D. Menskoff wrote that review of The Way We Eat Now. It's by B. Wilson, read by the author, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 12.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Chase Darkness With Me, How One True Crime Writer Started Solving Murders. It's written by Billy Jensen. There's a foreword with Karen Kilgariff, and it's read by both Billy Jensen and Karen Kilgariff. True crime journalist Billy Jensen narrates his personal look at criminal investigation in the matter-of-fact style of a reporter. Jensen worked with author Michelle McNamara on her book about the Golden State Killer, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. McNamara died suddenly before she could see the results of her research. Jensen made it his mission to see that her work wouldn't be wasted. Once GSK was arrested, Jensen decided to continue to look into unsolved murders the police had given up on. In a friendly and familiar voice, Jensen identifies famous unsolved cases he helped police solve, highlighting his methods, like using surveillance video, personal interviews, and social media. In the last chapter, Jensen offers tips for listeners who'd like to try solving cold cases, an unusual, engrossing true crime. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Chase Darkness with Me, How One True Crime Writer Started Solving Murders. It's written by Billy Jensen and Karen Kilgariff, and it's read by the two authors. It's available from Audible, Inc. for 8.25 hours, unabridged. Next we have On Democracy by E.B. White, with an introduction by John Meacham. It's an Earphones winner, read by Arthur Morey. One of the great narrators, Arthur Morey takes the simple beauty of White's well-wrought words and delivers them eloquently. John Meacham's introduction to this essay collection is a love song to the excellence of the author's achievement. The title piece exemplifies this happy meeting of writer and narrator. Morey's tone and tempo and style and pitch are perfect for White, who lucidly enumerates those elements matters that make for democracy, from the letter to the editor to the waiting until the bell sounds before fighting. In short, pithy essays, White takes on the bigoted, the House Un-American Activities Committee, and the boorish, America Firsters. While wit is ever present, and Morey artfully captures his plain-spoken humor, few have put prose to better use. Alan D. Minskoff wrote that review of On Democracy by E.B. White with an introduction by John Meacham. It's available from Harper Audio for 5.25 hours, unabridged, and Arthur Morey won an Earphones for that delivery. Now we will go to Learning by Ear, Thomas Walken's column, The Sound of Political Science. The audios we heard for this issue focus broadly on how government serves people like you and me. Some of these audio productions are based on books that are decidedly in the weeds, as capable TV commentators like to say. They're full of political history and esoteric philosophy about the purpose of government and how it evolved. Not everybody's cup of tea, but useful if you're easily irritated by unexplained sound bites and want to know what's behind all the contentiousness in today's political news. When I heard The Third Pillar earlier this year, performed expertly by classy Jason Culp, it was as if somebody had switched the lights back on when it comes to what's happening in Washington and around the world. I'm not saying it made me happy, but I did gain a deeper understanding of concepts like capitalism, socialism, populism, and community, words thrown around by the media but seldom explained. So now, instead of the emptiness and drama of these debates making me grumpy, I feel that listening to them has made me a better citizen, helped me feel better, informed, and less victimized by the daily news. Audios are a wonderful way to get this kind of information. While I'm listening, I can exercise, chip away at routine chores, and keep myself from getting bored on long car trips. I used to think that audios like these could be performed in a straightforward fashion without diminishing the writer's product. But listening to the kind of engagement and pizzazz I heard from the narrators of Blueprint and The Right Side of History convinced me that a colorful performance makes a difference, not only in an artistic sense, but also in the way the information is received and absorbed. Good listening and bon courage, Tom Walken. The next five reviews that I am about to read were all written by Tom Walken. First we have Blueprint by Nicholas Christakis, read by the author. The author narrator has the perfect vocal tone and style for drawing listeners into his discussion of how people connect with others in effective communities. Countering the view that humans are primarily aggressive and self-centered, he draws on his extensive knowledge of the socioeconomic, biosocial, and evolutionary causes of behavior to argue that people are wired to cooperate, respect individual identity, and embrace their commonalities. His laid-back enthusiasm for this body of knowledge makes his performance especially effective. Delivering inspiring stories of people creating cooperative structures and caring for each other, his cheery confidence is prominent. But he also knows how to keep it throttled back so that listeners will find their curiosity genuinely stimulated. Rather than feeling pulled in by an author who sounds too excited about his own ideas. And that was a review of Blueprint by Nicholas A. Christakis, read by the author, available from Audible, Inc. for 15 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Why I Run by Kate Childs Graham, and it's read by multiple narrators. With varied ethnic heritages to match the wave of multicultural candidates whose essays are collected here, seven capable narrators put a lot of themselves into performing these passionate, personal essays. The essays are from women, people of color, LGBTQs, and others who have been targets of the current administration. While a few of the narrators put too much passion into their performances, they nonetheless sound authentic and render these stories with the pacing necessary to keep the audio moving. They also connect nicely with the idealism and frustration that pushed many of these candidates into public office. Their stories offer palpable hope that America's rising political stars have the talent and determination to get in the ring and fight for the values that actually do make our country great. And that was a review of Why I Run by Kate Childs Graham, read by multiple narrators. It's available from Brilliance Audio for 6 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Socialist Manifesto. It's by Baksar Sunkara, read by Benjamin Isaac. Narrating this enlightening look at socialism's history in the modern-day relevance, narrator Benjamin Isaac is easy to hear and understand. Some listeners will wish for a more colorful performance. His pleasing voice and faithful interpretations make the sentences clear, but his vocal style lacks the subtle emotional variations necessary to signal the thematic shifts and surprises in this enlightening work. Nonetheless, Isaac's otherwise clean performance does succeed in making clear the author's belief in socialism's potential to remedy today's increasingly unequal social and political order. Sunkara says that when socialism is not corrupted by regimes that exercise rigid central control, as China and Russia do, it can bolster democratic participation and ensure that citizens have access to health care, housing, education, and other opportunities for improving their lives. That was a review of The Socialist Manifesto by Baksar Sunkara, read by Benjamin Isaac. It's available from Machette Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Third Pillar: How Markets and the State Leave the Community Behind. It's by Raghuram Rajan, and it's read by Jason Culp and Raghuram Rajan. Interesting variations in narrator Jason Culp's pacing, even down to how syllables unfold within a word, add auditory color and impact to this timely and intelligent economic analysis. Along with the perfect phrasing of a documentary film, which makes every idea clear and powerful, his performance is notable for its consistent energy and engagement over the 19 hours of this audiobook. The author who reads the epilogue has an exceptional grasp of the forces that hold modern societies together. He reviews how communities, the third pillar, have interacted with free enterprise and government throughout recorded history. That was a review of the third pillar, How Markets and the State Leave the Community Behind. It's by Raghuram Rajan, read by Jason Culp with Raghuram Rajan. It's available from Penguin Audio for 19 hours unabridged. Finally today, we have The Right Side of History, How Reason and Moral Purpose Made the West Great, written and read by Ben Shapiro. Listeners familiar with the prolific author's incendiary YouTube appearances will be pleasantly surprised by his performance of this audiobook, a well-crafted examination of why Western civilization is in danger of falling apart. Flawless phrasing and accurate interpretations are expected from an author, narrator, who knows exactly what they're trying to say, and Shapiro delivers in this regard. His performance projects vocal security, a comfortable authenticity that makes his more controversial ideas easy to hear. His unyielding emphasis on good and evil is unfashionable. His examples and remedies hearken to times when complying with higher authority, both human and divine, created the purpose needed to fight large-scale wrongs like slavery and the Nazis, and the abandonment of huge swaths of people by their governments. And that was a review of The Right Side of History, How Reason and Moral Purpose Made the West Great by Ben Shapiro, read by the author. It's available from Harper Audio for 6 hours unabridged. And that's our show for today. But I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have a regular feature, Listening With. This time we meet Rose Hightoff, an events coordinator at a bookstore in Portland, Maine, which just happens to be the home of Audiophile magazine. After that, we'll have reviews in Young Adult Listening. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.